Welcome to this AAT podcast. Today, I shall be looking at recent developments affecting the VAT treatment of property transactions. The main impact of the various changes will be on charities and other not-for-profit organisations, though there are a couple that will be of relevance to builders and construction companies, and also individuals building their own homes and holiday homes. The first change is in relation to the definition of qualifying use for non-business property. The background here is that a new building is standard rated unless it qualifies for one of the zero rating reliefs. One such relief is for charities and other not-for-profit entities that use the building for non-business purposes. As an aside, it should be noted here that the old rules stated that the use had to be for non-business purposes, and it also had in brackets an exclusion for use as offices. What this meant was that a building used by a charity for a non-business function, such as a drop-in centre, could qualify for zero rating. A headquarters building for the same charity would not qualify because it was an office. This rule has now changed, and offices can now qualify for the zero rating relief. The law in this area is fairly inflexible. It states that the building, or the part of it which is under consideration, must be used solely for non-business purposes in order to qualify for relief. In other words, it must be used only for non-business purposes and not for anything else. Of course, this could be problematic, as many charities have some minor business activities, and these would mean that the zero rating would not apply. The building would therefore be 20% more expensive, and the charity would need to spend a lot more time and effort in raising funds before any development could commence. As a concession, HMRC used to allow up to 10% business use before they argued that the relief would not apply. However, they have now revised their position and replaced the old 10% test with a 5% test. This means that a lot of developments which would previously have qualified for relief will no longer do so. The 5% is to be measured in any reasonable manner, so there is an opportunity to be a little bit creative. It may be that there will be perhaps some commercial letting of a new building, which will constitute a business activity for VAT purposes. This might amount to more than 5% of income, but it might not amount to more than 5% of use measured on a different basis. As an example of this, I recently got involved with a local church which was having a new church hall built. The intention was to use the new church hall for internal religious worship and for church groups. It would also be used by local special interest groups such as the Scouts and organisations of that nature on a highly subsidised basis. The church would charge for using the property, but barely covering costs. The problem area was that it was also intending to let on commercial terms to local businesses and perhaps also individuals for meetings, parties, receptions and the like. It was recognised that the majority of the use would be qualifying non-business purposes, but that the commercial lettings would represent business income and therefore would not be qualifying. The trustees' best estimates showed expected business income which equated to 9% of total income. This would have qualified the building for the relief under the old 10% test, but not under the new 5% one. However, we looked at the time that the building would be used by commercial users. Because the charges made to them were very high on ordinary commercial terms, this skewed the figures and it looked quite disproportionate. On a time basis, it was clear that commercial letting would be less than 4%, well within the 5% tolerance. As a result, the development would qualify for zero rating, which allowed it to go ahead, and there was no need to generate a further 20% of funding. If a project cannot qualify for relief, VAT will be due on the cost of the building. This VAT, of course, will not be recoverable on a VAT return, as it primarily relates to non-business activity. It is possible that some of the VAT will be allowed to be recovered. In other words, that small proportion which relates to the business activity. Prior to the 1st of January this year, 2011, the Lennart's accounting mechanism gave a measure of relief against this problem. This concept was developed following the case of Herr Lennart's, a German businessman. The law in Germany is slightly different to ours and allows an apportionment of VAT on the purchase of cars to be used partly for business purposes and partly privately. Of course, in the UK, if you buy a car which will have both business and private use, you get no VAT relief whatsoever. Herr Lennart's wasn't satisfied with an apportionment, and he challenged this apportionment idea, arguing that as long as there was some business use, he could recover all of the VAT on the purchase. He should then account for output tax, each VAT return period, to reflect the measure of private use. He won his case before the European Court of Justice, and therefore the VAT treatment of such purchases was changed across Europe. One area where it was particularly welcome was where we've been talking about already, charity buildings. A charity would be able to gain full recovery of VAT as long as it had some business use, and then it would account for the VAT on the non-business use over, say, 10 years. Accounting for the VAT over a 10-year period was a lot less painful than bearing it all up front. From the 1st of January this year, HMRC have legislated to counter this. Lennart's accounting, as it is known, is now no longer available for land and buildings. As an aside, it should be noted that it's no longer available either for aircraft and boats and other vehicles as well. Charities and other not-for-profit organisations need to bear this all in mind when budgeting. Talking of budgeting, the recent budget delivered by Mr. Osborne has confirmed the introduction of a further measure which could impact upon these users. Where a charity gains zero rating for a new building, it does so as it intends to use it for qualifying non-business purposes. However, it is quite possible that as time goes by, it changes its intentions and starts to use the property for business purposes as well, or indeed instead. Where this happens within 10 years of the original supply, the charity has to account for VAT on a time-apportioned self-supply basis. Until the 1st of April this year, there were several different calculation bases depending upon the reason or the need to make the adjustment. This has now simplified and brought the calculation process more into line with the capital goods scheme. These changes should make things simpler and not result in any increase of VAT, but care does need to be taken. In simple terms, the time apportionment simply takes into account how long the building has been used for qualifying purposes as a proportion of the 10-year adjustment period. So if a building is used exclusively for non-business purposes for 5 years, and then is used exclusively for business purposes for the next 5, half of the purchase value becomes chargeable to VAT. The charity accounts for this VAT as output tax and is entitled to recover it as input tax only insofar as it is making taxable supplies. If only part of the building is used for business purposes, an apportionment is made of this resulting calculation to reduce it further. Two further issues have clarified the impact of VAT on developers and individuals. The first concerns the definition of a new dwelling for VAT purposes. This is important as the first grant of a major interest in a new dwelling is zero rated. But if the property does not fall within this definition, VAT may be due at the full standard rate of 20%, or the sale may be exempt, giving no input tax relief for the developer. Firstly, there have been several cases where the development incorporated small parts of an existing building for planning reasons. Zero rating only allows for incorporation of a single pre-existing wall or two walls if it is the facade and it is on a corner site. If more than this is retained, the relief does not apply. In one case, planning permission was only granted on condition that two very small parts of two walls were retained. It was not a corner site, and the two walls did not form part of a facade. As a result of this, even though less than 10% of the two walls in question were retained, the zero rating was not available. This cost the developer a significant amount of money. Secondly, the question of whether a flat built on top of an existing residential building could be considered to be a new dwelling has been considered further. HMRC have previously ruled that there can only be a new dwelling, and so a zero rating, where the whole of the new flat was on top of the previous building and did not incorporate any part of the previous attic or loft construction. They had lost a case where the loft space was not personal to a particular dwelling. In that case, a block of flats had space above them which was used for the housing of communal facilities such as water tanks, but which could not be accessed through any individual flat and could not be used as part of any individual flat or dwelling. The taxpayer successfully argued that this space did not constitute a dwelling in its own right, nor was it part of a dwelling because it was not accessed through any dwelling. As a result of this, it was strictly non-residential in nature. The relief could therefore apply as the works constituted the conversion of non-residential space into a dwelling. Where HMRC had previously been successful was where a loft conversion took place, where the loft had previously been used by a householder as part of their residence. Think of a house with attic space which is accessible through a loft hatch. It is highly likely that the people living there will use that space, perhaps for storage purposes, if nothing else. Because it was used as part of the residence, HMRC argued that it was part of the residence, and it was impossible, therefore, to argue that it was non-residential in nature. The more recent case looked at a situation where the whole of a roof was removed, the walls were built up, and a different structured roof erected in its place. HMRC tried to argue that the relief did not apply as the new flat was built in what was the old house's loft space. The taxpayer argued that whilst this was true in that the space was previously part of the house, this was irrelevant as that space effectively ceased to exist in an enclosed form once the old roof and walls were removed. The taxpayer won on this particular argument. There appears, therefore, to be a divide between dwellings created within communal roof spaces, such as that in a block of flats, where no flat has access, and those in houses or dwellings, where the roof space has previously been used by a particular dwelling. There is then a further divide between conversion of loft space, where the existing structure is utilised, and those where a new structure is built instead. In all cases, of course, the new dwelling has to fall within the ordinary definition anyway. Do be careful. Several criteria apply to new dwellings before they can be considered to be zero-rated for VAT purposes. The new dwelling must contain all of the necessary requirements for life. There must be somewhere to eat, prepare food, go to the toilet, wash, sleep, etc. So it needs to have its own front door with all of the requirements for life behind it. There must be no internal access between the new dwelling and any old one. So do be careful. A granny annex with an internal door will not qualify as a new building and therefore will not be zero rated. The other requirements are that the building must have full planning permission and that it must be built entirely in accordance with that planning permission. If anything is done that is not within the planning permission, arguably it is an illegal building and therefore the zero rating again will not apply. Finally, there must be no restriction, in the planning or any other context, on the separate use or disposal of the new dwelling. It must be capable of being sold or let on its own without the other dwelling in order for the relief to apply. The final recent development relates to the do-it-yourself house builders scheme. A person purchasing a new house from a developer pays no VAT as the supply is zero rated. However, someone building their own house will pay VAT on building materials, bricks, cabling, piping and the rest. This seems unfair to HMRC, and so the DIY scheme allows a claim to be made by private individuals who are building their own homes to recover this VAT once the building is completed. It is not a perfect scheme, as it only allows VAT recovery on materials and goods incorporated within the building. It gives no relief on VAT on services such as those of architects. This, of course, means that it is not as favourable as the system available to businesses. A parallel scheme allows VAT recovery on some services. This is in the context of conversions of property from commercial use to residential. Here we are thinking of things such as barns, warehouses, offices, etc., which are now being converted to residential use. Interestingly, these rules have been interpreted by HMRC in the past as only giving relief where the new dwelling is to be used as the person's main residence. It therefore did not include holiday homes as far as HMRC were concerned. A recent case has now been heard, and HMRC now accepts that a claim might be possible for holiday homes. Whilst they had argued that the relief only applied for main residences and not holiday homes, the taxpayer in this particular case argued that the building nevertheless could be used as a main residence because there was no restriction in planning or other contexts, and therefore that the building qualified even though its use might not. The law did not specify the end use of the building in that manner. As a result of this, HMRC will now accept claims for qualifying conversions and a new build of holiday homes. It is possible that many individuals have had claims rejected because they would use the buildings for holiday homes rather than residences, or that some individuals have not made claims in the first place because they were aware of HMRC's restrictions. Such claims can now be made, and hopefully a repayment will be available. Thank you for listening to this AAT podcast.